I don't know about that. I think it's kind of silly. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Oh, I don't know about that. I think it's kind of silly. Ellen is just a absolute 100% gold-plated nut. She says, I don't have time for Facebook. I don't have time for Facebook. I don't have time for Facebook. And yet, every time I turn around, she's in Facebook. With her grandchildren, with her daughter, with her son, with her grandsons, with her granddaughters, with her friends, and people she doesn't even know. And people put things in Facebook on her grandchildren's Face account, and she responds to them. She responds to that. She doesn't even know these people, and she doesn't even know why they're there and if they're there. And what did one lady do?
She changed her attitude about something.
And what was her attitude? Do you remember?
She said there's no perfection.
One lady, a girl, woman, lady, writing in to the grandchildren's account, said that there was no perfection. She was a nice person. She was just saying lots of things, but she just said, there's no perfection. And so, what happened?
I answered her, and I said,
an
endless hour. Our student in Nigeria answered too about perfection from his point, but then she changed, according to that, she changed her attitude, and now she makes all the time statements positive about life and perfection.
Now, that woman had no idea that somebody was going to jump on her back. She had no idea that the world was going to tumble around her. She had no idea that her attitude toward perfection was going to take a U-turn, you know. Fantastic. And Ellen had no idea it was going to happen. Ellen just looked at it just casually and said, there is perfection. Life is beautiful. That's the way the world really is. Anything less than perfection is when we look in an opposite direction from what we say we want to do. And here our friend from Nigeria, he responds to her grandchildren's comments, and Ellen is responding, and people are all over, and from all over the world, just click, 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 because Facebook. Now, what's going to happen to that woman? That woman who had a very pleasant attitude about life, but she was calling things imperfect, that there was no perfection. Now, she believes there's perfection. What's going to happen to her? Her whole life is going to change. Now, did you know that was going to happen? No. Did you have any idea that you were going to respond? Well, you always respond because, you know, you create your own world. And that woman must have believed in perfection, or else she wouldn't have written in there. She didn't believe in perfection, so that you could say that, yes, there is perfection, and she could instantly say, oh, I see your point of view. You're right, you know? Well, Ellen was saying today, I mean, you know, Ellen is such a source of wonderment. She's saying that she's been going down to Apple once a week for a lesson in the computer. Well, now all of a sudden, Ellen is so smart, she thinks she doesn't have to go anymore. She thinks that she's had enough. Well, she's been complaining that the different instructors she's had at Apple haven't always been exactly as the first instructor she had. The first instructor was Gertrude.
Gretchen,
pardon me. The first instructor was Gretchen. And Gretchen was just a charming, delightful, sensitive, caring woman, much younger, but just really fantastic. And Ellen just drank at her fountain of wisdom and the way she was able to present the Apple to her. And she said, I love Apple, I love Apple, you know. And then she got another woman who was like Miss Gestapo. Dup, 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 dup. This is the rules. These are the things. This is the way it goes. And Ellen wasn't quite ready for that, but she realized that was important too.
Yes.
She had to realize this is the program, and you're not going to just fall in love with it. You're going to utilize it the way it should be utilized, like the law of cause and effect.
Yeah.
And Ellen's always ranting and raving about the law of cause and effect. That's what rules the world. That's what rules the world. Is there a good law of cause and effect and a bad law of cause and effect? No, there's just a law. Whatever you put in motion, that's what you get. If you smile at people, you get smiles back. If you frown at people, you get frowns back. Well, so Ellen was saying, well, Ellen, all her people haven't been good or bad or indifferent. They've just been instructors, and I feel good. And I said, well, Ellen, you say when you go in that you always have the ideal instructor. The ideal instructor, one who just turns you on and just makes you say, I love Apple, and I love this. And when you love it, it's fun to work with it. It's fun to do anything on it. And so I said, Ellen, today you're going to go into Apple, and you're going to find this little old man over the hill three times with his two canes holding himself up. And he said, I'm your instructor today. And you say, oh my God. And he says, yep, and I want to show you. And so he started teaching Ellen. And Ellen asked all the questions she had asked of the other instructors that they did not have the answers for. And he said, oh, of course, that was my question too. And I got the answer. Here's what the answer. And he answered every question she had. And Ellen said, my goodness, you are so brilliant. He says, yes, I'm a genius. You know, and he said, and so are you. And she said, yes, that's right. You know, Ellen goes around telling other people they're geniuses when she's a genius, and she's surprised that somebody else told her that she's a genius because they're a genius. Well, then what did he do? She says, how did you learn so much? And he said to her, what?
That he learned with Steve Jobs.
He went up to
the top.
He went to Apple and went to school.
He went to the Apple school headquarters and learned from the kingpin himself, Steve Jobs. Well, now we can look at this now and say that's interesting, but truly, I'm sure Steve Jobs knows all about his computers and all about his things, but do you think that really Steve Jobs is going to take his time to learn all the programming that goes into the computer? No. He is into other aspects of it. Now, true, Steve Jobs would have taught her a great deal, him, and made this every student who would be under him, but he doesn't have the time to take to teach a school. He only has time to dream, and he has time to put into motion all of the dreams that he has, and the details, the fundamentals, the functioning underpinning of the system, he lets to someone else. And yet when he gets up and he demonstrates it, I am always amazed when he gives his annual talks, you know, and he talks about some new product or something. And then he has other people coming up there and talking about it. And he has a charisma about him. And his charisma just sort of pours out. And he doesn't really tell you anything. The other people are telling you all about the product because that's what they're handling. They're handling the software. They're handling the things that make it work. They're handling the... But he takes the device and he cuddles it. And he snuggles it. And he makes you fall in love with that device, not because the device is so desirable, not because the device is so useful, not because the device is... But because it's such a beautiful device. It's just... You want a Rolls Royce because, well, you really don't want a Rolls Royce. What do you want? A Porsche. You want a Porsche because it's got pizzazz, it's got panache, it's got everything about it. You don't need a Porsche. You don't need to go roaring down the road. You don't need to look like, you know, you're a teenager. You know, you don't need to do this. But out of 10 Porsches, I would say 8 or 9 of the drivers all have gray hair. That's the time they could afford it. Yeah. But the point is, they finally got it. and they don't care who says whether it works or not. Now, Steve Jobs has come out with the iPad, which is going to be quite a wonderful little gadget. But then Aunt Frances, Sylvia's Aunt Frances, Frances Enns, sent us a little email, and on it, it had this YouTube, and it's this guy. He's standing there with a towel rolled up and a strap over his shoulder. And it looks cool, you know, looks like he's going to the beach or something like that, you know. And so he sets it down. Now, you don't see him setting it down. It just sets down. It's all done total for the object. And you see this object unrolling, and it unrolls. And then the centerpiece comes out of it. And here, this object is now on an angle like a computer. And it's a laptop computer. It just unrolled. And the piece that was in the center was for the webcam, and it's for the
loudspeakers,
and for the USB ports, and for the electrical plugs, and all the gadgets, you know. And it's a lovely thing. Okay, so, but it's a big screen that could lay flat or it could bend, and it has a keyboard on it, you know. The keyboard is photographic, and you
and
just
a pen too.
Huh?
A pen.
And a pen. Yes, yes, that comes later. And the keyboard has this on there, and then it can lay flat, or it can stand up, and has a little prop on the back that helps to stand it up. And then, as Sylvia says, it has a pen in it. You pull this pen out, and here you have a pressure-sensitive screen that you can touch with the pen. Now, who needs it? I mean, who needs that? But it's fun. Mm-hmm. And the more that you can make learning fun, the more that you can make doing your job fun, perhaps, and quite likely, it is going to offer feed off of it from that device and the way that they're doing it and the simplicity that they're doing it, that it'll work into other areas, but for itself, it's quite spectacular.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's quite spectacular, and it's going to give people an opportunity to play, and people love to play. And why do you spend money? Why do you buy a beautiful house when an ordinary house would just actually be satisfactory? Why don't you just get a square box with four rooms or nice big rooms in it and nice windows in it and stuff? And why bother with the outside? Why bother putting on the screens and shutters and little window shelves and awnings and all those kind of things? Why bother with that? You know, why bother with that? Why bother putting a garden around the outside? Why bother putting a nice stair and lawn going up to it and driveway and garage and all those things? You know, they really. How often do you use your garage? You know, it's a big room off your house, and how often do you use it? Well, you put your expensive cars in there, or your cheap cars, or whatever you got. Or usually it starts to get storage. You know, junk. Things you should throw away. It should never stop in the garage, but it does. We live in a fantastic life, you know? We really do. And we create every experience we have in our life. And then our law of cause and effect, we bring into our world, into our experience, everything that's fantastic, joyous, and wonderful, and everything that's miserable. And why, Sylvia, do you store stuff in your garage you're never going to use? Why, Ingeborg? Why do you have this coaster going into the garage full of dirt, of wood? And why do you have all these things in there, and the cats in there, and stuff in there? And Ellen, in your garage, why do you put the big cabinets on both sides of the garage that you do nothing but store things in, you know? And you store things in that you don't even want to use. Herb, you built that house. Now I get the blame. Just because I put it up. But she's the one living in it. She's the one who created it. She inherited it.
Yeah.
She created it for herself. Well, now, why, hey, that was built as a four-car garage. But, of course, when you put all the cabinets on the side, you made it into a two-car garage, you know. And so, why not take the cabinets out? But where would you put all the junk? That's right. Where would you put all the junk? Now, we have one row of cabinets filled with absolutely unimportant things. We have a big Shangri-La barn that we could put all these things in. We could take all those cabinets and move them over to the Shangri-La barn, and then we could have four cars in your garage, and you only use one at a time. And you could have all those cars taking up all your room in your garage. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? It's not important. Your garage is not important. Your house is not important. Nothing is important. It's a toy. It's a toy for the moment that we use to enjoy. And you're going to go down to Apple, and you're going to have a wonderful instructor guide you in the next project in Apple that you're going to look into. And as you do this, you're immediately ready for it. You read up on it, and so all they have to do is just sort of walk you through the program a couple of times. But why are you doing this? You're doing it for fun. Do you know enough right now to operate your computer to do all the things you want to do? No, but to do all the things that you have
to do. I want to do.
That you have to do. To operate the programs that are writing your letters, doing your bookkeeping and accounting and all that kind of stuff. And so you see, right now you're going into refinement. See, right now Ellen is going from a Ford to a Mercedes, and step by step and step. And why not? Why not? This is the fun of life. And you see, when you stop looking for something better, something more exciting, something more interesting, something more illuminating, you're ready to go to the next dimension. Because this dimension has given you all the fun that you can have. But as long as you are finding delight in this dimension, as long as you're finding fun, you, if you wish, and you can do this, go and talk to any dead person, and say to them, why did you die? And they'll tell you, oh, I did everything I wanted to do. Well, why didn't you die earlier? Well, I thought maybe there's a few things I hadn't seen, well, why did you die at this particular time? Well, I just felt like I'm done, I'm done. You can talk to dead people? Sure. Talk to yourself. But yes, you can talk to dead people. You can talk to live people. You can talk to anything you want. Now, just to throw a boomer in here, why can you talk to dead people, Ingeborg?
It's all one.
It's all one. It's all one. And if you don't believe it's all one, then you haven't gotten the adventure that this life really wanted to tell you, because it's all one. So go get your iPad. Go get your circled computer that flattens and rolls out. Go get your Mercedes, or your Rolls Royce, or your Bentley, or your Maserati. Go get whatever turns you on and makes you feel good. When I had the church in Minneapolis, the Andromeda, one of our members was a very wealthy man, and Russell Lund. And Russell Lund always wanted to have fun, and the local airport was a scene of his presence often. And he would go over there, and he would take his Mitsubishi. And I'd never even heard of a Mitsubishi before that. His Mitsubishi airplane, big old jet airplane that he would fly over to California from Minnesota, or go on over to Japan or to Hawaii. He'd use it fly just for the fun, take the family, take friends, and go tootling along. And Why did he have it? Just for the fun of it. How much did it cost? Great deal, you can be sure. But, you see, isn't it fun? We all have the possibility of doing anything. Now, whoever thought Russ Lund would be able to do something like that when he was a kid? When he was a kid, he helped in his dad's grocery store. When he was an adult, his dad's grocery store was a great chain. And he was worth a mint. We live interesting lives, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
So, start sparkling your mind with all the possibilities and get out there and enjoy yourself and just think how wonderful the world is and how wonderful you are. And, Ellen, this little old man is going to come up to you and he's going to say, Ellen, I've been waiting for you. And you say, are you the Grim Reaper? And they'll say, no, I'm the happy sweeper. I am sweeping the cobwebs out of your mind and putting in your heart the joy of living now, using the law of cause and effect to accomplish anything you want. So, have a lovely day, y'all. And the sun is shining, and it's warm, and it's a natural Southern California day, where all we know is happiness all the way. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.